The Markles have been here before, so I guess they don't really need a great deal of formal introduction, except that some of you haven't seen them before because you're new. But Jeremy and Laura have been missionaries with us for a while now, and they are ministering in Puerto Rico. And we'd encourage you to come by the table out there, lots of good information. Get a prayer card. Pray for them. Come tonight. Find out what God's doing so that you might pray more intelligently. I told Brother Jeremy, give us all you can give us information. We want to know it all. And just a reminder, Missions Committee will meet tonight at 4 o'clock for our part of the meeting. 4:30, we'll meet with the Markles. 5:15, we'll go off to choir, except for those at 5:30 going to the Fellowship Committee meeting. So it's nice to know that there's nothing happening today on one of the four best days of sport in every year. I'm even wearing my basketball tie pin. Brother Jeremy, you come now.
Thank you, Pastor. It's good to be with you all here today. And it's good to be able to be in a warm place, right? What a blessing. I was hoping that as we came into spring, we would be able to enjoy spring weather, but I guess some of you are still praying for some winter weather. Maybe for some of you, then we'll have a discussion, a different meeting after the service. We'll talk about how we should change that prayer just a little bit. But no, we appreciate being with you all here today, and obviously our family is trying to adjust to the cold weather, considering we've now been in Puerto Rico. We arrived there just over 9 years ago. We are thankful for the time we're here. We'll share more this evening, as Pastor mentioned. We have been back in the States. We arrived here stateside in the middle of the end of August, and we are looking at returning to Puerto Rico the end of May, beginning of June. We are starting to calculate dates here in the last couple of weeks. We have not bought plane tickets, but we're in process to start that as well. So we'll share more tonight. We look forward to that, and we'll look forward to the opportunity to answer your questions, spend some time with you even here this afternoon at the table. Anything we can do for you while we're here, let us know. One of the things that we have set our hearts on, so that you at least understand where we're coming from, is that we are currently sacrificing to be away from the church and the people that God has led us to work with there in Puerto Rico. I don't say that meanly, but it is a sacrifice to leave your homeland to go to another country. But after you've been there, it's actually a sacrifice to leave there as well. And by doing so, we understand that sacrifices can be wasted or they can be invested. And so we want to make this a joyous day. We want to take the sacrifice of being away from our family and friends there in Puerto Rico, our ministry, knowing that it's being cared for. God has given us men to step in our place. But we want to take that, we want to invest it. So our time here today is for you. And we want to give you all that we possibly can. We want to give you 110%, just like we try and do on the field. And so please, understand that we're here for you. And let's get started today by directing our thoughts from Scripture, and then throughout the day, we'll be able to share some of what God has been doing, as Pastor mentioned, what God is doing there with us there in Puerto Rico and with the people in the ministry. We'll have a video presentation here this evening that you'll be able to see. I wouldn't suggest any popcorn. It's only 8 minutes long, so you won't get very much popcorn digested. So we'll suggest you set that aside, but then we'll follow up with testimony and some of the other things, prayer requests that you can keep in mind when you think of the Markles and the ministry there in Puerto Rico. Here today, this morning, let's take a look at God's Word. And we're going to follow some of what was already read during our Scripture reading. In part, what we're going to look at here today is Mark chapter 8 connected to Luke chapter 14. Two passages of Scripture that give us similar accounts, similar teaching from Scripture. And you say, but those are not the passages that we read in our Scripture reading. And that is because I specifically requested that Mark chapter 10 be read, because we're going to make reference to it, but we will not have time to read it all in its fullest. But I want it to be fresh in your mind. Think with me about what Jesus encountered in Mark chapter 10. He encountered a man who suggested that he wanted to follow Christ. He wanted to know what he could do to have eternal life, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ then went on to share with him that he needed to live a pure life. That man went on to say, but I have done that, as many people today say. I'm religious. Even the Apostle Paul said in Philippians, as he gave his testimony, that it was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He had all of his credentials. He said, even when it comes to zeal, I persecuted those who did not believe the way God would have us believe. And that's what this man said to Jesus Christ. He said, you know, I've done all of those things. I'm a good person. Then Jesus Christ goes on to touch one of the areas that was very self-protected by this man. And he went on to say that he needed to sacrifice some things that he wasn't willing to give up. In the process, the disciples caught wind and understood, as they were, as we would say today, eavesdropping on the conversation. So Peter looks at Jesus and says, but Jesus, we have given up everything. Think of Peter, his brother, Andrew. As they were working in the family business, fishing, and Jesus came along and they gave up everything to follow Christ. Think of Matthew, the tax collector, who gave up all of his business, his finances, and the other of the 12. We have given up everything to follow you. There is a sacrifice that we must be willing to make to be followers, to be messengers, to be ministers for Christ. And I want to encourage you here today, because the end result of that conversation is where we will close once again. But let's start with it so we can look with joy at this message and at the passage that we have. You see, Jesus Christ looked at Peter and he looked at his disciples and he said to them, no matter what you sacrifice on this earth, there will be greater rewards both on this earth as well as in heaven. Dear friends, let me start by asking you this question. How much reward is your life earning you for all eternity? Have you been investing, and will you, until your dying day, invest your life, no matter what that means, for the cause of Christ, for your Savior, for your Lord, for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, for your Heavenly Father? That's what Peter was saying. He said, we've done this. And Jesus Christ very quickly responds to say, you will receive 100-fold. But not only in this life, you will receive rewards for all eternity. Having that idea in mind, the end conclusion, I've just ruined my entire message. I've just given you exactly what I want to speak on, but I would like to fill in the gaps. I would like to take the time to look at Scripture and find how we can come from the point of saying, I'm not sure if I want to sacrifice, and what does it really mean to follow Christ, to the point of rejoicing together with the guarantee that God is faithful and He rewards those who serve Him. Look with me, if you will, please, in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, and if you would like to put your finger in Mark chapter 14, we'll flip there periodically. But Mark chapter 8, the Bible helps us understand these teachings and the rewards that God has for us if we will but sacrifice. I said to you here today, to get started, that it was my desire, and it was even our willingness, to sacrifice our time and some of our ministry in Puerto Rico in order to be an investment in your life. My desire is that we would be willing to sacrifice, and we would sacrifice, so that there would be greater rewards as we follow God's will and direction for our ministry. Here today we find in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, and when he had called the people, this is Jesus Christ calling, when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also. Just from this phrase, I want to help set the stage. I want to lay out the context. Jesus Christ is walking. Jesus Christ has done some of his ministry, performed miracles, preached, and now there is a following after him. And while there is a following after him, he turns to address them. And this is, I believe, very significant. Because what we find here is that the following of individuals for Jesus Christ would be very similar to what we have here on a Sunday morning. individuals who have seen the work and even words of Jesus Christ and have said to some level in their life, I want to see more. I want to learn a little bit more. I believe that's probably where each of us are here this morning. You are here to follow Christ at some level, each one of us at different levels. But we're followers of Christ, and I want you to understand that what Jesus Christ goes on to teach us in this passage was not being taught to Pharisees, was not being taught to the rebellious. It was being taught to the obedient to this point, to those who had interest. Continue with me, if you will, please. Now, thinking a little further, as we look at the end of verse 34. The Bible says, and when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In Luke chapter 14, verse 25, the accounting says, and there went great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, verse 26, if any man come to me, and he hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Do you realize that you will never be a minister for God if you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ first? You can never attain the privilege of truly and freely being one of God's ambassadors here at home or around the world if you are not one of His disciples. See, because you can't be an ambassador, a good ambassador, for someone that you're not living like, that you don't appreciate, and that you're not dedicated to. Jesus Christ in this passage is quite clear. There are some things that we need to lay on the altar if we are going to serve Him wholeheartedly. We need to be willing to take whatever that has come to our mind right now, as we mentioned the altar, as we mentioned putting something before God and preventing ourselves from serving Him faithfully. Whatever that is, for some it may be a car. For others it may be a job. For others it may be friends. For others, you take the list, it's yours. Whatever that is, just like this rich young ruler, we must be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to direct God's Word into our lives and look at us and say, I'm not concerned about all of the things that you're doing that are well. I'm concerned about this thing that you refuse to turn over to me. And that thing will always prevent you from truly being one of my followers, from truly being one of my ministers. Will you please, I beg of you, set it aside. Now remember who Jesus is talking to. He is talking to the multitude of people, including His own disciples, who are currently physically following Him. They're physically in the right place, but it doesn't mean spiritually they are in the right place. Dear friends, this is a consideration that we need to make for our lives every morning. Every morning, every day, we need to consider whether or not we have lived that day sacrificing ourselves or living unto ourselves. Whether we have died daily, as the Apostle Paul said that he was committed to do, that Christ might live through us. You see, dear friends, I could go move my family to Puerto Rico. I can even take the process and the agony and the labor of learning a second language. I can go through the process of working on a church building and I can go through the process of even preaching from a pulpit. But if I have not crucified myself, Jeremy Markle, and who I am not the minister, I am not truly the missionary that God has called me to be. I'm not an ambassador for Christ. I'm still representing myself. Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, the Apostle Paul was very clear. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 5, he says very specifically, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. You see, we must eliminate ourselves so that people will truly see our great Savior. I ask you here this morning, do you want to be a follower of Christ? And I'm not speaking of simply a physical follower, following in the religious traditions of your family, the religious traditions expected upon you to be here on a Sunday morning, on a Sunday evening, on a Wednesday night, even those burdens of expectations of others that drag you out into the other church ministries, which we're so thankful that you participate in. But how much better to participate in them 100% dedicated to God? Are you living a life of religion? You say, Brother Markle, I'm saved. Praise God for that. But religion is simply following traditions. Traditions. Habits. Or do you have a relationship? A relationship which is so joyous to you that you desire to do nothing that would displease the one you love. You see, personally, I don't like taking out the trash. Quite honestly, I don't like cleaning the car. In the heat of the day, I hate cutting the grass. Actually, on Friday when it was snowing, I'll let you know a little secret. I despised the fact that I had to go and shovel. But why did I do those things? Why do I do those things? I do them because there is one who I love. One I want no danger to come to, and one that I want to please. That person's name is Laura. She knows not this. She has no idea I did this. But I specifically shoveled an area that she could get to her door of the car, and then pulled the car to that spot when she came out of the house. She has no idea. Why would I do such a thing while I was despising what I was doing? Because there was somebody that I wanted to put in front of myself. Do you put Christ in front of yourself? Are you willing to do that thing that you personally despise? Dear friends, for the first years I was in Puerto Rico, I despised waking up and trying to speak Spanish. Confession. You say, you're a missionary. Yes. How many of you would like to speak Spanish today? Would we start now? You say, no. I felt the same way. I'm just like you. But to serve the one I love and serve the one I love loves, I must be willing to put myself on a cross and give up my all. Continue with me here, if you will, please. As we think about the idea of sacrificing, Luke chapter 14, we've already read the verse. Let me read it again, verse 26. If any man come unto me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, and brethren, and sisters. Some of you say, that's easy. Yeah, I don't like my brothers and sisters either. Yeah, that's okay. I've got some kids here. They feel the same way. No. Obviously, that's not what it's talking about when it says hate. In fact, another passage of Scripture says very plainly, if you love them more. The same list. Look what the Bible says here. If you're not willing to put Christ in front of these individuals, you cannot. He cannot be my disciple. Verse 33 of Luke chapter 14, the Bible says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you, that forsake not all that he hath." All that he hath. What do you have? What is yours? What do you have the title to? Ooh, I'm sorry. Did I just go too far? Did I just talk about your largest possession? Don't worry, the bank has that title. Maybe your car. Yes, I was referring to your house at first. What is, if you could go through your house and put your name on everything that is yours, are you willing to give that back to God? Because it's His, really. I don't know if you've ever heard, but some families have eliminated family feuds after the death of a loved one. By through the years, the final years of that loved one's life, they would go through with a piece of tape, often masking tape, and they would write the name of whoever it was to get that object, and they would put it on the bottom. If it's a lamp, it's a lamp. If it's a chair, it's a chair. Whatever those things are, they would put their name on the bottom. And then when that person passes away, there was no dispute. There was just a collecting of all the things that had your name on it. So let me ask you, in this globe, in this world, on this earth, what has your name? What has your name? What belongs? That's mine, you say. Really? Is that yours? Are you willing to sacrifice it? To give all that you have? For the love of Christ? You know how you'll how you can prove that? By taking what it is you have physically in your hands and not throwing it away, but making sure that every moment that you're using it, it's for His glory. All that you have, all that you are, all of your relationships. Think with me for a moment about not just the physical things, but the other things in our life. Your relationships, do they belong to God? We've got some young people here today. And the questions are asked, who should be my friend? I say to you, not a single soul should be your friend if it will turn your heart away from God. But that goes for the adults as well. We can have acquaintances in this earth, but we must be careful that they never become more important than our relationship with our God. But there's other things that are not physical that we own. There are our own personal desires, our own personal comforts. Are you willing to sacrifice your desire, your wish, your bucket list for God's bucket list? There's a question that are asked young people. It goes something like this. What would you like to do when you grow up? For the guys, the response is simple. I will never grow up. For the girls, you ask the question this way. Who would you like to marry when you grow up? Dear friends, I appreciate these comments and these questions. They're kind. It shows interest in the direction of one's life. But perhaps we can change it just slightly to make something much more significant. The question perhaps better asked would be this. What would God like you to be when you grow up? Who would God like you to marry when you get married? Oh, it's easy to pick on teenagers. I enjoy doing it, especially as they're seated in the back. She's paying attention. Don't worry. She's looking at me right now thinking, how can I take them down? Perhaps we have others here in the middle. But what about us as adults? What are your dreams? What are your wishes? What is yours that is so precious to you that you couldn't imagine living without it? Be careful, because that may be the very thing that is stopping you from living for God. Dear friends, I share with you that often people look at missionaries and think that we are strange. It is true, we are. But they think somehow we are strange with some type of supernatural powers, as if I could open up my shirt and there would be the great S. I suggest to you that there is only one thing we are. Are individuals who God is breaking on a daily basis. And it is the same privilege you can have. Because as we are broken, as God takes from us those things that we have deemed precious, we are refined as gold tried in a fire, and we become more precious to the one we love. And so I ask you, is anything so precious to you that you cannot be precious to God? Will you truly give your life to Christ? If that is with regards to serving Him in what we consider today full-time Christian service, then hold back nothing. But we are all in full-time service, for Scripture clearly teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that all new creatures in Christ, all of us, have been given the work of the ministry of reconciliation. And we have, each and every one of us, been given the word of reconciliation, which is the word of God. And each and every single one of us have been given the greatest privilege of all, and that is to be God's ambassadors to the world around us. So I ask you, once again here this morning, are you a good ambassador or a poor one? Have you given your life to Christ? Your dreams, your comforts, your relationships, your possessions, have you laid them at His altar? As an investment for eternity. Those who make investments sacrifice. But they sacrifice with an expectancy. And that expectancy comforts the loss. And as they get to their latter years, they rejoice that they were willing to give up what they sacrificed. How about you? When you come to the latter years on this earth, what will you look back upon? Perhaps when you get into heaven, the question must be asked, what will you look upon? Will have you counted the sacrifice worthy? Will you count the cost and find it of value? It is interesting here in these passages, in both of them, the Bible is clear when it talks about ourselves. It says this, let him deny himself. This is verse 34 of chapter 8 of Mark. Let him deny himself, take up his cross. The idea of taking up your cross is not the ailment that you face every morning. The cross did not represent some type of financial burden that was laid upon an individual. The Bible is clear what the cross represented. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Are you willing to have your reputation damaged because of the cross of Christ? Yes, your position and popularity in your class, in your job, in your town, because you're a Bible thumper, because you're a holy roller. Because quite frankly, you're a Christian, which means little Christ. It's not a title you've given to yourself. It's a title others have given to you because they recognize who comes first. Are you willing to take up that cross? In fact, Jesus Christ took that cross, that humility, that shame, and we are specifically commanded to follow His example. Philippians in chapter 2, verse 5 through 8, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is a very familiar passage to us. It goes on to say, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Are you willing to take upon no reputation? that when people look at you, they don't even know your name, but they know who you represent? Are you willing to become a servant, even as Jesus Christ washed the feet of his own apostles, which was the lowliest job? And then he turns to his apostles, his disciples, and he says, as I have done, do thou likewise. Form of a servant, likeness of man. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Are you willing to give up your personal reputation? Are you willing to give God everything? That really is the question that we land upon here. You see, because in Mark chapter 10, as we have already read today, and as we started as an introduction, there was a man who did not want to give up everything. And in the end, he lost more than he ever possessed. That is serious business. This passage goes on. It says for us very plainly and very specifically, not only that we must take up our cross, but it says we must follow Christ. It says, follow me. In Luke chapter 14, verse 27, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Let me ask you a question. Are you coming after God? What do you mean by that, Pastor Markle? What I mean by that, dear friends, is that you are following after him like a puppy following his owner. Chasing after God, saying with the Apostle Paul, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh, that passage also talks about the fellowship of his suffering. Are you so desirous to have a close walk with God that as you wake up in the morning, you are as a deer panting after the river brooks? Dear friends, Jesus Christ is quite clear. You cannot be his disciple if you will not come after him. Coming after Jesus Christ is not just coming to church on a Sunday morning. It's not even reading your Bible every day. It's not reading through the Bible in a year. It's taking what you experience on Sunday morning and making it personal. It's taking those passages, those verses that you read, whether it's 5 or 105, and making it personal. It's taking those opportunities of prayer and making it a personal conversation with your daddy. It's taking those opportunities of service and not doing them for man's sight, but under the fear of God, for the glory of God, both in private and in public. Let me ask you here today, are you a follower of Christ? Can he use you in his ministry? Move along with me here for a moment, if you would. Verse 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and for the gospel's shall save it. If you will be willing to lose your life for Christ, you know, like those people say, he's lost it. It means he kind of lost a couple marbles. He's a little wacky. Are you willing to become just a little wacky for Christ? Are you willing to give up everything, everyone, every personal desire for Christ? It says for us here, verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sin... Are we living in an adulterous and sinful generation? Just a little question. Just want to make sure it's applicable to us this morning. Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh into the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You know, so many of us are so religiously, romantically focused on that phrase, well done, thou good and faithful service, that we will never hear it, except for in our own minds. Because you don't get that statement made about you unless you are truly a faithful servant, unless you are truly a disciple of Christ. Unless you're willing to take up your cross, unless you're willing to set aside your personal relationships, unless you're willing to give up all that you have, you will never hear those words. What investment are you making with your life? Mark chapter 10, verse 28, after Jesus Christ discusses with this rich young ruler his needs and even discusses or begins to discuss with his disciples, specifically Peter, the idea of sacrifice. Mark chapter 10, verse 28, follow with me here. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man, notice this, dear friend, when God says no, he means no. When he says every, he means every. There is no man, woman, or child that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive, he shall receive. It is a guarantee. He shall receive an hundredfold now and this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. And some of the young people here today say, that's why I'm not going to serve God. I already have one brother and I don't want any more. Dear friends, we know that's not what's being discussed here. But there's a little line that I did not read. I did it on purpose because, quite honestly, I don't like it. But because I don't want to be judged by God, I will read it. After he lists all of the things that we're going to receive a hundredfold, will you notice that there's a word with, and then there's a bad word that follows? It's not four letters. It's much longer than that. It's the word persecutions. Do not think that your sacrifice to God will eliminate your trials and tribulations and individuals rejecting you. God told us from the foundations of Jesus Christ's teaching that if we will be followers of Him, the world will hate us just as it has hated Him. But then He reassures us that it's worth it all. He goes on to say that not only will we have rewards on this earth, we will also have rewards for all eternity because He says, and in the world to come, eternal life. It's not that we're working for that life. It will be the guarantee and the joy of that life. Verse 31, but many that are first shall be last, and last shall be first. Many on this earth who get all of the fame, who guard all of their gold. Many of them who do not sacrifice anything of their family, of their lives here on this earth. They are in first place. They have the biggest and they have the best. And yet they have lost everything. They have lost more than they can ever imagine. Dear friends, I don't want you to be losers. I don't want you to suffer the loss of your investment, of your sacrifice. I want to encourage you here this morning to sacrifice willingly, joyfully, to look for the opportunity to answer the call of God in any area of your life that He touches you and say, Dear God, it is yours. I will hold nothing back. Oh, dear friends, in Luke chapter 14, and we end with this passage, in Luke chapter 14, after Jesus Christ shares just what we've looked at in connection to Luke chapter 8, verse number 28, goes on to share something extremely important. Read with me, if you will, please, Luke 14:28 and following. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. What king going to war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. Notice what he says here, after he has stated very clearly that we must be willing to die to ourselves, to give all that we have. He says in verse number 38, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. You cannot be one of God's followers and one of God's servants. You cannot be a useful vessel in God's hands if you will not count the cost. Do an inventory of your life. Take that inventory and put it on the altar of the throne of God. Then, and only then, will you truly be one of Christ's disciples, one of His followers, one of His messengers. Then you will be a useful vessel, a vessel meet for the Master's use, as the Apostle Paul says it. Oh, dear friends, the process is a daily one. The result is an eternal one. Is it worth you giving up your day today for an eternal reward? If so, make that same decision every day of your life. Where's your investment? Are you a disciple? Are you a follower? Are you a minister of Christ? Let's close in prayer. Dear Father, Lord, I thank you for this day and for the opportunity we have to understand from Scripture the truths which are clearly taught from Jesus Christ's own mouth to those who followed Him physically. He was calling upon them to follow Him spiritually. Dear God, I ask that we would be followers of You, that every aspect of our lives would be turned over to Your use, for You to do what You wish. And dear God, that we would guard our hearts from Satan's lies, suggesting that it's not worth it, suggesting that our God is not a good God, suggesting that our God does not truly want to reward. Dear God, help us to remember that He is a loving Father who treasures, cherishes, and blesses His children. Dear God, I ask that we will be children, obedient, who can receive such blessing. I plead with you for this. In your name, amen. Pastor. Yeah.